How you doing today? Good. Well, this is the what of the what? Ah, August the 28th, 1913. Thank you. Thank you. The day the White House was burned. All right. Well, today we have some good news. We have some good news. Technically, to do you the most good. This is all actually Scientology 2, but the understanding of it, I'm afraid, lies in Scientology 4. Now, let me give you the first startling statement. Just a startling statement. If you cannot make a keyed out clear with a prep check in 25 hours or less of processing, then the PC is operating on a service facsimile. Startling statement, isn't it?
Yes.
It's elementary. It's elementary. A prep check fits in with your IPSA line in a very hand-in-glove proposition. Of course, these are the hottest ITSAs there are. It's on your 18-button prep check list. Those are hot ITSAs. You give somebody an 18-button prep check, and that tone arm doesn't go through the complete rehabilitation cycle. We assume that you, the auditor, have not parked it with clumsy auditing. We assume that. We assume you haven't let an uncontrolled ITSA line wander down through the bank and re-stimulate everything on the early track. See, because you put in an ITSA line that is untimed and uncontrolled, and you sooner or later are going to be in trouble. ITSA lines have to be timed. In other words, your questions on ITSA always require a time limitation factor, or you're going to get somebody in trouble. In this lifetime, since you have been in Scientology, Birmingham, in college. You get the idea. That sort of thing. Your PC wanders around all over the place and wanders into a bunch of things that you didn't want them in. And you've got a re-stimulation factor to deal with now, which you didn't intend to have. So an uncontrolled ITSA line, now that you've had a lot of fun letting an ITSA line wander all over the place, I'll give you the trouble with an ITSA line. The trouble with an ITSA line is that an uncontrolled ITSA line will get the PC in more trouble than you've been in for a long time with a PC. Why? Because the PC's attention is permitted to wander and tick and clip things which heretofore were inert. They then re-stimulate, and the charge comes up and blows his head off. And then because you aren't running systematic whole track things like R3R and R3N, you, of course, keep clipping GPMs and that sort of thing and re-stimulating them and clip another GPM and re-stimulate that and clip another and then half a dozen engrams. Then a few entrapments and a few crashes and a few betrayals and let him touch two or three overts, too. But this time you have no tone arm action. Why? Case is overcharged. That's an uncontrolled ITSA line. We'll go into that more fully later. Not necessarily in this lecture. I just give you that as a word of warning. You can let a PC's ITSA line wander all you please as long as it is wandering exactly where you want it to go. I'll give you an idea. Sometimes the PC will over-answer the question. You say, review. I was going to put this in a new model session and then didn't do so. because you'll have too much trouble with it. You would have had. Review the last session. All right, PC says so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. The auditor isn't right up there on the edge of his auditing chair ready to cut that line. The moment the PC exceeds that question, see, the PC doesn't review the last session, but starts to run the incidents or new incidents contacted in the last session. Doesn't just review it, but gives you brand new stuff out of the last session which wasn't there. In other words, exceeds the answer to it. You all of a sudden have yourself some trouble. Well, what's this trouble? The trouble is that your PC, on an uncontrolled ITS line, has gone and plunged off and started re-stimulating material that he shouldn't have been in, and now you're going to have trouble in this session. You already predetermined by letting the ITSA line be uncontrolled what you're now going to run in this session, so therefore you can't ever carry out an auditing program. It'd be perfectly all right to do that as long as he just reviewed the last session. That was all. What did we do in the last session? We did so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, and etc., and I had a cognition of so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, and you say, all right, thank you, good, all right, good. Thank you very much, all right, your PC, if the auditor is unadroit, psychic, and so forth, is going to feel his communication line has been cut. But let me assure you, it's far, far better for that PC to feel his communication line has been cut than wind up 8 trillions 8 ago in the middle of a GPM which you had no business running, because now your PC is really going to ARC break. In addition to that, why, you've got more charge re-stimulated than you're about to handle. You understand? You got to control the ITSA line. The best way to control it is with a time span. You can do time spans in several ways. I wrote that up recently. I don't know whether it was published or not. There's time is always part of it. There's time by subject. You see? Saint Hill. See, that's a time period, although you've merely said a subject. And so forth. But they're all time periods. All right, so it's a line is always controlled by a time period. You go in and put in R1C on a PC without specifying the time of your question and without carefully limiting the PC's wandering, and you're going to have an overcharged PC, an over-stimulated PC every time. Got it? There is a direction of attention necessary where the auditor comes in. Now that you've had some experience letting a PC wander all over the place and so forth, maybe you've learned how to listen, now learn how to control that line. Very difficult problem, how to control the ITSA line without cutting the communication of the PC. That, my dears, is your problem. Still getting me in trouble. I got no business telling you how to do it. Now, what's good news here? That's good news here. That's not necessarily germane to this situation. Is that a PC answering prep check buttons is, of course, giving you straight, direct ITSAs. These are the key ITSAs of the case. So as he gives you prep check answers within a time period, I don't care how you limit this time period, it probably have to be half this lifetime. You'd have to clean up something on the order of about half of this lifetime, or maybe a bit more, in order to make a keyed out clear with ease. Let's drop it back in definition to the Dianetic definition, which never considered anything more than this lifetime, and let's handle what we set out to handle in the first place. We made a lot of keyed out clears. Let's not defame this particular situation. Because it is very valuable. It's a valuable state of case. It's a state of case which you yourself ought to be able to create now with the technology we have without the slightest qualms. How? Well, just put in an 18-button prep check. Well, do you require an assessment? Well, that'd be nice. That's about how valuable the assessment is. That'd be nice. Gives the PC something to ask, answer about. The assessment does. But that assessment and your prep checks are headed at only one thing. They're headed at re-stimulation. What you're trying to do is key out re-stimulation. And that's the only thing you're interested in, just keying out re-stimulation. Therefore, clearing is de-stimulation. The way to clear somebody is de-stimulating. Well, how do you de-stimulate him? Well, you knock off the points of clearing where the re-stimulation took place. This has nothing to do with getting out the original incident. Incidents then categorize into an inert incident, unrestimulated, an inert incident. Nobody's worried about it. It's buried down there in the center of the earth. Nobody's kicked it, tripped it, touched it, has nothing to do with it. Don't you see? It's inert. It's got charge in it, potential charge, man. You tread on its tail and it goes. Now you have re-stimulated it. All you have to do is flick the PC's attention on it and you have re-stimulated it. There's, of course, the degree that you can re-stimulate it, but we are not worried about the degree that we re-stimulate it. This could be a large catalog like Kraplin's chart of insanity. Yeah, the degree of re-stimulation. And if you work over an incident and chew on it and chew on it and chew on it and re-stimulate it, of course you re-stimulate it more. And then there's not letting it discharge while it is being re-stimulated. And there are all kinds of conditions to the degree that an inert incident can be re-stimulated. Okay? Re-stimulated greatly or slightly or just kicked in or something. Well, we don't care about all of that. That's getting far, far too nice. That's like a fellow being good-mannered and being an expert on Emily Post. I don't think they have anything to do with each other particularly. It's just being too much. It's what kind of fingernail polish do you wear on your little finger that you hold aloft from the teacup, you see? What is the proper color of the fingernail polish? What is the proper color of it? That of course, is too... Who cares? An incident is re-stimulated or it's not re-stimulated, and that will do us. You will find yourself saying good and proper re-stimulated, you see. And there's also unknowing re-stimulation. It got re-stimulated, and nobody knew what was re-stimulated, including the PC, and that is the subject of your ARC break. There are different conditions of re-stimulation, but in final analysis... It doesn't matter what the condition is. The fact remains that it is re-stimulated. So there is simply this matter of it being re-stimulated. And then there is a state of case. A case is re-stimulated. All cases are re-stimulated to some degree of one kind or another. All cases are. But a case can be over-re-stimulated. And that is a condition of re-stimulation. The conditions of re-stimulation are extremely varied, as I have just said, but there is a condition of over-re-stimulation. And that condition of over-re-stimulation is that it will, its definition is, it will not discharge by ordinary means. Now, the situation that we have to deal with in all of these regards is whether or not something can be discharged. And something that is over-stimulated is not easily discharged because in some fashion or another, the discharge has been prevented. That's prevented discharge, over-stimulation. So it comes from getting a hold of too much and not discharging it. And that is what is an over-restimulation. And then there's the condition of destimulation, which simply knocks out the restimulation. It doesn't knock out the incident. And then there's the condition of discharge. Discharge is entirely and completely wrapped up with what is being discharged. It is simply the flow off. Now, an incident which is discharged is discharged. It is no longer capable of restimulation. It is not now an inert incident. It is a gone incident. The batteries in it have been short-circuited. That's the end of it. It is no longer capable of producing restimulation. Discharged. Now, where you get a condition of restimulation, which is then let off, that is not discharged. Now, we're introducing a special definition and meaning here. That is not discharged. It is destimulated. Got the idea? It's not discharged. Discharged means that the incident just is now incapable of being restimulated. You have just up and hit it in the head with an axe, and it's gone. See? But if this incident is going to be put back in an inert state, then you destimulate. So there's two things which you can do to a bank. One is destimulate it, which is simply knock out the key ins of the original charge. You didn't knock out the original incidents. You just knocked out the moments when the original incident was keyed in. I'll give you an idea. You're coffee shopping with somebody, and you realize that there's a GPM. There is a GPM devoted to homosexuality and the between lives implants. There is one. And I don't really think so. He said, well, get the idea now. Just get the idea. To be a homosexual. Just get that idea for a moment and you'll see. That, of course, throws that GPM alive. See? It actually, just discussing it isn't going to do very much about it. You've got to concentrate. Somebody's got to concentrate his attention on it. Him or somebody else, you know. He's got to look right at it, you know. Straight at it and bang. That GPM, which up to this moment has been inert, now becomes restimulated, and it's now in a restimulated state. Now, there are two things which can be done with it. One is discharge it, which is run it. Get its items out of it and take it off. It's something like taking the battery out of a car. Discharge it. In other words, there's no battery left in it. It can't charge up now. That's it. It's had it, you see. And the other thing you can do is say, now recall the time that you were talking to Joe there in the coffee shop, and he said to remember that GPM. Yeah, that's right. Well, what was happening in the coffee shop? There's your time factor, see. Oh, there's a lot of clicks and clacks of cups and saucers, and Joe was arguing with me and so forth, and actually, I had a withhold from the time I've been out with his girl last night, and so forth, and click-clock, that's the end of that GPM restimulation. Get the idea? That is now destimulated. Now, at any given moment, somebody can come along and say, well, there is a GPM in the between lives area to be homosexual. I don't believe it, he says. You say, all right, well, just take a look at it. Bang, you see, there it is. Somebody's turned on the ignition switch. So an incident which is an inert incident is not having any effect on the PC. It's not part of his aberrative picture, you see. But might very well, by various chains and channels, have influence upon him, don't you see, in various ways. But it itself, as an incident, is not restimulated. We're not interested here in behavior. What does this inert incident do to influence behavior? The degree that it is inert, we're not interested in that. We're just interested in whether or not charge is coming off of this thing or charge is blocked up and almost off of this thing. And we're interested in that kind of a proposition. So there's two things you can do to an incident. You can destimulate it, which is knock out the times it's been keyed in, or you can discharge it, which is just to knock it out and shoot it down in flames forever. See? There's the two things you can do. Now, let us consider that the reactive bank is basically concerned with and contains inert incidents. Let us just assume that. It's inert incidents. After all, there's a fantastic amount of time track, and the individual has not been out on this time track to mount anything. And there it is, all stacked in one way or the other. There's probably thousands, hundreds of thousands of incidents make some auditors just weary to think of how many incidents there are in the reactive mind. They just throw their hands up in horror. And all of those things are little potential batteries. They can furnish charge. They can furnish charge like mad, see? But nobody's been walking around on top of them. They're just lying there. They're not doing anything, see? Not hardly anything at all. They're not doing anything. Well, if they just stay quiet, you'd never have to clear anybody. But the PC's attention, directed by life, or some artificial means, such as auditing, can be made to connect with, or by his own means, can be made to connect with one of these incidents that has never before been alive. And at that moment, its batteries go and start generating juice. Now, what's remarkable is it's actually the PC's attention which generates the juice. So the incident is merely a trick put together by which the PC's attention can be converted to restimulation over which he has no power. It's out of his control, if you want to go into the real mechanics of the situation. In other words, here's this dead fish lying there, had no life in it. PC's attention is placed on the dead fish, and the fish begins to wiggle. Worse than that, he begins to fan his tail. And the ripples come up from that we will call charge. That's charge. All right. Now, actually, as long as his attention is flicked back and forth across this inert incident, charge is generated. And if this attention is fully enough directed to it, and if the channel of the PC's attention is clear enough so as to permit understanding and confront, in other words, permit his ARC to flow, you will see motion on the tone arm of your meter, and very soon, fish, no wiggle. Very soon after that, fish, not there. Now, actually, you can put the PC's attention on this. He can put his own attention on that zone or area on the time track as many times as he please, and he will never get any charge from it. That's discharging an incident. That's erasing one. You have various terms for it already. Let's look at this other action. Let's look at this re-stimulation from another point of view. PC's attention flicks onto it, either from an uncontrolled Itzel line or something happens in life. Somebody comes charging up to him and holds a dead fish in his face, something like this, and it reminds him of this other thing, and his attention, wittingly or unwittingly, flicks over this particular section of the bank which has been lying quiescent, and the moment when his attention flicked on it is the moment of re-stimulation. We call that a key-in. His attention hits it, so you got a moment of re-stimulation. Now, oddly enough, it is only necessary to de-stimulate that incident to have it go back into a dead fish state. You only need to hit this moment of re-stimulation. Knock out any aberrative factor in the moment of re-stimulation, and the incident will destimulate, and the individual's attention is no longer fixed or fixated on this particular incident, and the incident goes quiet again. Keying out is the term we normally assign to that action. So theoretically, You could take a hold of the PC and take anything as powerful as the 18 buttons of the prep check. And with any time of a kind of a time span or subject direction here that nevertheless gets it all in, let him wander up and down this thing, putting in the buttons of the prep check. And you should key out the bulk of anything that has been keyed in this lifetime. Then you return to a state of free needle. You have, in effect, clear. You've destimulated somebody to a state of clear. That's a clear. You see, it isn't necessary, then, to make a clear in order to make an OT. But you should know how to do it. Because you're going to have to do it, in part, a lot of the time. Very fascinating that all of this ties together so neatly, because it's directly represented and analyzed by the tone arm. Directly and immediately, and in the higher state of free needle, of course, requires the needle in addition to the tone arm. There are 8 states of needle. You'll have a bulletin on, and there's no reason to go into them now and call them off number by number. They begin with free needle. They begin with tightening needle and moving tone arm. They go up to through this to high tone arm. They go through high tone arm to low tone arm. They go from low tone arm to tone arm at clear read dead thetan. Clear read, tight tone arm, tight needle. No motion at clear read for the PC. That's dead thetan that you got in your E-meter essentials and so forth. It's next stage. Now, let's you got that. That's a cycle of tone arm conditions. There are a few more of them intermediate stages, but you'll have a list of those, as I said. Now, let's take a look at this. They also compare to your 8 levels of case. Straight across, you can analyze the level of case by the level of the behavior and action of the tone arm. Now, I've been trying to solve this for you for a long time. How the devil did you make a diagnosis of the case and finally worked out how you could do it with the way the person appears on a meter? So that's very direct. How does he behave in the first few minutes of processing on the meter? And that gives you the level of case, bang. I'm not making a lecture now on the diagnosis, so you can have your levels of case and your tone arm conditions and so forth some other time, or in the bulletin, which I'm doing on it, if I ever finish it. I seem to keep hacking away at this bulletin. It's now getting about a foot thick full of papers. Now, the conditions which you must pay attention to are these: dead thetan, clear read without tone arm motion, and tight needle. That's your lowest case range, save one. There is one below that. But that one below it is not a tone arm manifestation, so it is not included, but I just throw it in gratuitously. The needle is inversely reading. It's inversely tight, so is frantic. You'll see for the first time a constantly rock-slamming needle with the tone arm sitting at dead thetan. It's just constant charge. You're just reading. It's like reading a switchboard of a power plant. It's just everything moving except the tone arm. But we just include that in the unaware case. Since it's a needle manifestation, we don't need it. Your next movement up from dead thetan is low tone arm case. The low tone arm case. That case sits constantly and continually around 1 or 0.5 or something like that. You just can't get any motion out of it. And the next case that is important to you is the high tone arm case. And the next case is one moving in the high range. And then there is the case which has got what you would call good tone arm motion, which is going past and through clear read. And then this goes right on down to free needle with tonar McCleary. In other words, it turns a whole cycle, so you have to be able to recognize the difference between a dead thetan and a clear. It's fairly easy to do. One's alive, one's dead, I mean. But you'd be surprised how often this one's been missed. I've seen it missed. Guy sitting there, he's a pale gray, you know, he never has anything to say. The needle is totally stuck. You ask him anything, try to do a sec check or something, on total stuck needle. No reaction from anything of the sort. Somebody comes around and said, well, the guy's clear. I've had it happen. I haven't believed it, but it's happened. And I've seen arguments with clears. Arguments with clear reads. Now you can see that if the state of clear, this is something that's needed classification and clarification for a long time. We're working actually now at the level of Scientology 3 when we're actually working with clears. This has needed clarification for a long time. The second I tried to push a clear through from anything but a destimulated clear to a discharge clear, I found out you had to go all the way to OT. There wasn't any way stop. Even though the person would exteriorize and they'd be theta clear and they'd be this and they'd be that and so forth. None of these furnished a sufficient way stop short of OT, so it's just a long pull. The odd part of it is that at any time on that route you could make a clear. At any moment on that route you could make a clear. What you have to do is prep check them this lifetime to a free needle and you got a clear. That destimulates whatever you're running, see? You just drop all the re-stimulation off the case, and there it is. You'll have a free needle. Now, it's interesting that this is a very easy one to produce. It's been produced by a 9-year-old boy on a staff member in New York. That's right. He just got in the prep check buttons on his PC. And didn't nag the PC and clean cleans or cut lines. Probably didn't even read the meter to that degree. The PC finally said that that was all a suppress. Well, that was fine. That was all a suppress. I don't know that the session went that way. He might have been hell on wheels getting that needle clean too. But obviously, he couldn't have cut the line very hard or he wouldn't have gotten the result he got, which, of course, was a free needle. Needle sloppy and flop and drifting across and falling on its own pins, and you can't get it to read on anything, you see. Elementary. Now, the condition you've got to have in order to take anybody to OT is that next door neighbor to a free needle, a moving tone arm, which is moving through the clear reed with good motion. Now, if you don't achieve that before you start trying to strike for OT, you're not going to make it. Well, why? The case is over-restimulated. There are too many incidents kicked in. And you, in trying to take the case, it's elementary. It has nothing to do with the state of case. Oddly enough, I mean, it doesn't matter whether the guy's loopy, balmy, or... It had nothing to do with it, you see. What he can or cannot do, it's just the state of this meter. And you try to take this character onto the backtrack, and of course you re-stimulate something new, and you add it to the over-re-stimulated case, which adds up to a frozen tone arm. So you actually have put his case state down one click. See, from wherever he is. Now, if you continued to do this, he would theoretically, go from a fairly loose tone arm, well, that is to say, it moved a little bit once in a while, he'd go to a high tone arm, and if you continued to over-restimulate the case and run the case without tone arm action, the case would then become a low tone arm case. And if you continued to run the case without tone arm action, you would have that needle stuck at the clear reed. This is elementary as this, you see. Then by doing a prep check, now it's now more difficult to do the prep check, don't you see, because he's sort of disassociating and he's overcharged and blown toward PT and he can just get yesterday. and so forth. You've overcharged the case. Now, with prep check, however, you start cleaning up all this stuff. You back the thing down from clear read, stuck. That goes right straight on through to a low tone arm case, stuck. And that frees up a bit and goes to a high tone arm case, stuck. And then with more prep checking and actions in this direction, destimulating the case all the way, the case then turns to a fairly free needle, toward the free needle state, don't you see? Well, you don't have to get to a free needle in order to now run the case in the back track. It's a cinch if this guy's carrying around this much toxemia in the way of an inert bank that any time anybody sneezes in his direction, inadvertently puts his attention on the time he was crucified, he goes from free needle to this, you see. It's a cinch he's got to have those insulins discharged sooner or later. Now, the subject here is not how you discharge the incident, it's when you discharge the incident. Yeah, it gives you all. Now you really know all when you certainly look that over. Well, you put the case in a state where incidents can be discharged. And if the case is getting good tone arm action, and what do I mean by good tone arm action? There's a bulletin on it. But you've got to have a fair sweep of that toe arm. It's got to be moving around, man. And it should preferably be moving through three. Preferably moving through three. A high range motion from three to five is critical. And the second you go backtrack, by actual experience, on a case that is moving, well, not three to five, but a case that is moving from three. No, let's take some actual figures here. A case moving from 4 to 5-2-5 with good tone arm action, when taken on the back track to re-stimulate a new incident or GPM, promptly flies up to 5.75 and sticks. See, the case would run on this lifetime with tone arm action between 4 and 5 or something like this, or 4 and 5.25, and get good tone arm action. And the second you go backtrack and grab a handful of inert incident and re-stimulate it, why, plank, she goes, clang, right there, stuck, 5.5, stuck, 5.75, something like this, don't you think? Stuck. Boom. There it is. Got the idea? So that case isn't a high enough case level to run backtrack on. How do you diagnose this? Tone arm motion is moving in that sphere or zone. Now let's take a much more critical case. Let's take a case that is moving down here from 2.25 to 0.5, and let's achieve that as the case's tone arm motion. 2.25 to 0.5 is the extreme range. And we take that case back track. Well, you're probably not going to make a high needle. You're probably going to stabilize this case toward clear read with less tone arm action. You moved it from a low tone arm case to a dead Thetan case. That is a long way from enough tone arm action or a proper tone arm response to run backtrack, see? That's a long way from it. That case, actually, under prep check, will become a high tone arm case. In theory, and move around to the high range before it moves down to proper tone arm action. Do you see the progress of a case then as represented by the tone arm? Stuck tone arm at clear read, low tone arm, high tone arm in range, tone arm settling back to clear read but loose and the needle free. It goes that cycle. That's the way that tone arm behaves in the presence of cases. To get a clear, absolute textbook look at this is rather difficult, because sometimes when you start prep checking, the case transfers rather rapidly from one kind of case to another case. Rather speedily. Goes through one of these stages without your seeing it go through the stage, because you weren't purposely going to stick the case high up. therefore doesn't stick way up and then doesn't stick lower and so forth, actually does a spin and goes through seven. And you'll see such cases, a low tone arm case, go through seven. Bzzz. You wonder where the needle's gone, where it's gone, where's it gone? Sit there, meter's gone out of action, obviously, because the tone arm can't be centered on anything, gone, you know. When that happens to you, and you wonder what has happened, by the way, there is something on here you probably had never paid much attention to. There's the trim knob. And you just take that trim knob between your thumb and forefinger and give it a violent switch. You just twist that trim knob all the way over and your needle will come back on. When she goes through seven and won't register, why, your trim knob will put the needle back on the dial for you. If you get stuck at seven. Handy thing to know. But I myself, it happens so infrequently that somebody goes through seven that I myself get caught on this. I got caught on this the other night. I was trying to catch the thing. And then finally flip, and yeah, I had it. Thought the meter goes out. It's almost impossible. It's such a startlement to keep directing the PC's attention to something weird going on here. Could happen very rare. It's very rare that your thing goes through seven. Now, it can go through seven wrong way, too. It can go through seven from high tone arm, high stuck tone arm, to low stuck tone arm. That's undesirable. It can also go through seven and come back off seven again by going through high tone arm through to low tone arm. You rescue the PC by doing R2H or something like this. You're doing R2H or something which rescues the PC rather easily and relieves charge rather easily and keys out nicely. And it only stays in a low-tone arm state for a split second. And then slip, slip, bing, bang, goes back through seven again and comes up on the other side, but this time may be a bit higher. In other words, you were carrying the case downhill and you went through seven. Going through seven, it doesn't always mean that the case is improving. The case can also deteriorate. Now, this puts under your control the very interesting fact that you can make it clear at any given moment. Make it clear any time. And you just sit down and make it clear. Nothing much to it. You got the weapons, it's very easy. Just don't clean cleans on the prep check line or something like that. And be rather permissive in running some kind of a prep check on some kind of an assessed subject and maybe another prep check on another assessed subject and maybe even a third one on another assessed subject, and all of a sudden you're to be sitting there looking at a free needle. PC will feel wonderful. It's fine. And oddly enough, you have done enough, such as the power of auditing, to keep them going for years. In most cases. They'll start worrying about it, however. They'll start chewing at things which they remembered they used to chew at, and they'll wonder how those are now. And there goes their attention onto an incident you've made nicely inert, and they kick that one in, so when they get up in the morning, they put themselves on the E-meter to find out if they're still clear this morning. And they're not. They're at 325. And that's not so good. And they worry about that, don't you see, and wonder what incident kicked in, put in their own Ipsiline, flick down, hit some other, and the next thing you know, you've merely got somebody with an active tone arm. Now, you see what's happening here. In other words, you carefully destimulate somebody, and they, or life, re-stimulates the thing back out of existence again. Well, that's about all there is to clearing. Clearing, then, you would look at it as a relatively unstable state, and so it is, but it is more stable than anything has ever existed in the whole field of mental healing, psychotherapy, or anything else, so why not accept it as a state? Now, you could, the next step up by which you achieve this, and by which you achieve this totally stable, with complete stability, is there's nothing left in the bank except things that don't have batteries in them. The incidents left, whether they're inert or otherwise, aren't going to do anybody any harm. You get a case level 2, you see, as far as the bank is concerned, because you discharged everything else. You're going to start seeing free needles occasionally, and when you just delete all of those too, or delete why he is mocking up a bank, all of a sudden the whole meter goes blank. then the PC has to worry about how does he estimate the amount of beam to put on an E-meter electrode in order for you to get any connection between the two cans. And one way of doing that is just hook a permanent beam between the two cans, and the meter continues to read very nicely. It hasn't anything to do with the individual. Or you haven't got anything to measure. And that, of course, you reached up to a state of OT. So a state of totally discharged bank is OT. And a state of the OT and clear are the same breed of cat, except they go out on two different sides of the house. You pull the guy out of the bank, and he's not in the bank, and he will behave very nicely and probably do a lot of interesting things. But if he does them, he's going to kick in charge occasionally, and this is going to worry him. And he doesn't really dare turn on any power juice, because if he turns on any power juice, he runs into inert instance, and they activate, and this throws him down scale again. So he feels tippy. He feels somewhat unstable the second he starts keying back in again. It's a loss of hope. He gets a lose, that is, he considered himself in such wonderful shape, and suddenly he isn't in such good shape. Because actually, that fellow still has in his bank enough incidents. He has them all, see? That if you threw those incidents alive, one after the other, systematically preventing their discharge, you could run this case just bang, bang, bang by the amount of charge that was restimulated. You could just run the case down to action, action, and then high tone arm, and then low tone arm, and then dead theta. You could so overcharge him, he couldn't remember his name, rank, serial number, or anything. Because he's still got a bank. Over-restimulation is the cause of amnesia. All you have to do is over-restimulate somebody, you get amnesia. It's the cause of weird behavior. It's the cause of a lot of things. It's the cause of making you feel like your skull's coming off. It's the cause of making your body feel bad. It doesn't matter much what part of the body feels bad or what the significance of feel bad is. It's the overcharge that makes one feel bad. One feels nervy, edgy, that sort of thing. Now, if you were to give a PC 3 sessions in a row without achieving any tone arm action on the case starts to feel pretty wild. Because just the fact of auditing is going to re-stimulate. In other words, he's going to wander around. Now, the more overcharged, the more re-stimulated a case is, the more over-re-stimulated, to use the proper term, a case is, the more it greases around on the track, the more it disassociates, the harder it is for it to hold a position on the track, the harder for it is to sit in an engram, the harder to stay on the back track, the more easily the case is swept up toward present time. It's all grease. See, and it's all uncomfortable. Memory is bad. Recognition is bad. The facsimiles look bad. Of course, you're walking up to something that's charged like got 10,000 volts on the confounded thing, you know, and you expect him to get near this facsimile. See, because he's got so much charge residually, the charge is starting to match up with charge. Incidents start to jam together, and that is all assisted by wrong dates and wrong durations. And the bank starts to look like it's been in a wine press or something like that. It's kind of a mess. And that is always due to over-restimulation. Now, as you move over-restimulation off the case, why, the case goes back into a happy state of time track in place. Everything's in place. Everything's fine. You don't even have to head for the exact moments of restimulation. Just prep check buttons are good enough. Case all gets padded back together again. Time track will be back there, unwalked on, but in beautiful condition. The PC will be able to get near instance, hold himself on a time track. Everything's going along fine. Visio's up and perception up when he does hit an instant. Now, in a condition like that, an auditor, carefully, without keeping the ITSA line in with no control, an auditor carefully regulating the PC's attention goes backtrack, grabs up a handful of GPM that he knows about, and runs it with an accurate line plot and discharges the thing and so forth, and he's still getting tone arm action. Now, the tone arm action of the PC potentially will increase, and you'll get better tone arm action because he's one less GPM, don't you see? That is, even if you do put his attention on the back track, it isn't so likely to freeze. Providing you don't take 8 GPMs, you see, restimulate all those and then go off to find some better tasting clover. And then because that didn't taste very well, go off someplace to find some more. And then find the exact combination of how come he got GPMs. Well, let's get basic on the whole line of GPMs. Let's get the first GPM out. Let's do this, let's do that, and let's not run anything. And next thing you know, why, your case is a high-stuck tone arm case, and you're getting no tone arm motion. You can't get anything in the back track. He has no perception. His memory is bad. Somebody drops a pin a block away, and he jumps a foot. He's all nerved up. What is happening to him in auditing? Auditing is doing him in. All of this. You see. And he gets all of those things as a net result of over-restimulation. Now, you can turn right around, prep check the case with appropriate terms and so forth. You can prep check the case back to good tone arm action. Take him on the back track of stuff you already know is there. Take the stuff up selectively one after the other. Discharge it properly, and the case is on the road again. But the wrong thing to do is to not pay any attention to the condition of the tone arm and hope that you can go back track and pick up the incident which is responsible for this restimulation. Because you always restimulate at any given instant more than you are discharging, so a case has to have some latitude for restimulation. You're going to take one bear GPM series, one bear series. Well, I defy you to run one bear series without ticking the adjacent pair. One goal out of the bear series without ticking the adjacent pair in the series, the one above it and the one below it. Just in the process of finding the top up term, why, the PC is round, that isn't so much. Finding the items, that's fairly easy, but getting down to the bottom, you have to have the next GPM in the series to get the bottom up term. So you've now thrown that one alive, haven't you? And now how about listing for the next one? Well, that's liable to throw that one and two or three other series alive, see? What is the next GPM? Well, you have to list for it, which, of course, throws more restimulation onto the case. There's got to be some tolerance for an additional restimulation without killing the tone arm action. In other words, the case has to be in pretty good shape to have this kind of thing happening to it. It's got to have a width of tolerance. In other words, you started out with a margin of tone arm action. Now, if you started out to do this action with no margin of tone arm action, no tone arm action to spare at all, this case is running between 4 and 5. Getting good TA action between 4 and 5. And now we're going to go back, and we're going to take a series of the bear goals, one right after the other, and we're going to run those GPMs out. That case is going to stick at 5-2-5 or thereabouts, and it's not going to budge because it's over-restimulated. It's over-restimulated to begin with. It didn't have enough margin to run on. Now, sometimes you win on this, so you discard it. Sometimes you just play it lucky. You knew there was a GPM back there. You went back there. You ran out that GPM, and it restored a little more tone arm action. And so you ran the next GPM to it, and there's a little more tone arm action. You thought that was fine. And on once in a blue moon, you will actually restore the case's tone arm motion from the back track. Cut your throat, because that's the type of win which leads you into sin. Because the other 9 times out of the 10 that you do that, the reverse happens. You go back, you knew where the GPM was, you're going to run this GPM, you got the plot, everything of the sort. You start... We are presented with something which is running at 5-5. One session at 5-5, PC survives it. 2 sessions at 5-5. Well, if we just get the rest of this GPM out, If we can just get the items and we have no ARC breaks or flubs or anything like that, and the PC stays happy through the whole thing, we get enough charge off the case, because the GPMs are actually what caused that tone arm to stick. We know that. So let's we'll get the... and so on. You say you have an ARC break. Well, let's see. Do we do an assessment? Or maybe we can just clear it up. Did I cut your comm or something? Oh. give me the next item. Next item. Yeah, give me the next pair. Give me the next four. let's just get anything off of it we can down to the end. 575. Stuck. We did get a blowdown of 0.2. And we try to run something else, and there's that tone arm. Up. You're not going no place, man. You can't get on the back track without sticking it harder. Why? The case is already overstimulated. You've got to take a long breath and run something on this case to destimulate it and return the tone arm action so it's going pleasantly back and forth across three and is running into good condition and good tone arm action before you dare do anything else on the back track. Now you go on the back track and get some of the charge off and the case runs like a startled gazelle and everything is fine. In other words, you damn near got to make it clear before you can OT somebody. I consider that a very interesting set of data. And that's why I say we're lucky. Because that tone arm behavior compares exactly to case levels, and case level is just over-restimulation, not bank. If you consider that a case has a bank, a reactive mind, the content of which is inert. But if he gets walking around in there in his muddy feet, it's going to soon cease to be inert. But there it sits, nice, big, inert mass of junk, unrestimulated. Big, it's sizable. It's formidable. But it is inert, and therefore is not bothering anybody. And then we have a subsidiary. If we want a graphic graph of this, so it looks like something, draw a great big circle for your inert bank, and then draw a little tube off the big circle and draw another little circle. And you call that the restimulation, the amount of restimulation. The amount of restimulation is always the auditing target. Now, that amount can be great or small. And as it becomes great, you get the lower case type. And as it becomes small, you get the higher case type as far as your representation is concerned. In other words, you're working on two bins here. There's one great big one that has inert, and then there's what has been restimulated off of that, and that lies in another cubicle. And the auditing is always done against the cubicle of restimulation. And when that cubicle is emptied, the auditor can reach into the big bank expertly, grab by its tail one GPM, haul it over into the little restimulation cubicle, audit the hell out of it, and empty the restimulation cubicle of that, and then reach over into the big bank and haul another great big whopping series of stuff out of it and put it into a state of restimulation and just graphically represented. It's now in the restimulation chamber, and now he empties the restimulation chamber, and so he brings about an OT. Now when he puts his great big hands into the inert bank and hauls out 15 dozen fish all in full restimulation, he finds he's got more fish than he's got bank. He feels now that he's auditing the whole reactive mind simultaneously, and that's the way it looks, because he's re-stimulated too much. So, if he's done that error, the thing to do, or if life has done that to the PC, the thing to do is just throw the fish back into the main chamber inert. And just empty this cubicle. Now, if we get this graphically pictured, we get something that looks something like this, which I just described to you. We have your big bank, and that is your reactive mind. And then we have the re-stimulation chamber. You understand? And your re-stimulation chamber has some kind of a vent on it, which is discharge. Now, you can discharge this, and always some of this discharges, regardless if you're destimulating, or you can put it back to sleep, which is destimulate. See? So you're auditing the re-stimulation chamber always. You're always auditing the re-stimulation chamber, and you have another action, which really isn't auditing, it's re-stimulation. You do it with an E-meter and so forth, and you select something out of the reactive mind, and it goes live, and it looks like it hasn't moved or anything, and it really hasn't. But pretend that you've hauled that through into the re-stimulation chamber, and you've got now charge, and you audit that charge off, and you discharge that. Now, when you've got this thing nicely empty, only then do you reach back into the reactive mind and haul something new out into the re-stimulation chamber and discharge that. At any time, if this condition seems to exist, whereby your re-stimulation chamber seems to be that size, you open up this line. Of course, inevitably, you get a little discharge here. But you open up that line and just empty it back into the reactive mind. Got the notion that we're involved with here. Just the idea is the auditor can at will put into re-stimulation or into this re-stimulation chamber. At will, he can put anything and everything he wants from the reactive mind. Well, you got line plots, you got pictures of the track, you've got various things like this. Put an ITSA line in. Get a time factor. On your early track, that's a nice time factor. on your early track, what do you suppose you must have run into that convinced you should have aberrations or pictures or something like that? And then just sit there for a while, see? And let the PC talk. In fact, sit there for several sessions, if you really want to make a good test of it, because you're going to get tone arm action first. That's what's going to fool you. And you'll see the tone arm go on up and stick. And you'll see the tone arm go through 7 and go low. And then you'll see the tone arm go to dead theta, because you're just asking this guy to re-stimulate the whole back track. Uncontrolled action. So you brought this re-stimulation chamber not just full, but bursting. If you're not undertaking an auditing action to empty it, such as to run the line plot and shape it all up and groove it all down and that sort of thing. Horrible. This case, pin drops quarter of a mile away, goes through top of skull. Nervous. Body things happening. All kinds of wild things are occurring on this case. You say, go to 10 years ago. Track's greasy, see? So he goes to 10 million, 5 million, 6 million, tomorrow, yesterday, out of session. looks like a bear on skates. He's just going all over the doggone place. You say, get an incident when you were in a baby carriage. Flick, 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 flick. He's gotten 15 incidents of being in baby carriages in the last 15 lives. Why? Well, actually, the thetan just gets backed up here in the corner. subjected to enormous pressure. He's just overwhelmed. He's just drowned. He can't cope with it. He hasn't been permitted to understand or confront the things which have been re-stimulated, so they haven't discharged. And he doesn't know what to look at. And you get a high tone arm case, the main thing wrong is they don't know what to look at. And you ask them to do anything, and they do something else. And they don't quite know how to go about this. And it takes very precise action on your part. So it takes something like a prep check. You get to put in a time limit that is real to the person. And the next thing you know, with one single exception, which I will come to in a moment and give you a much greater lecture about, the case peels right on down into destimulation, and you get the case back from this state to this state, and then you actually get the case into a state of nothing. That's clear. Nothing in the re-stimulation chamber. That's all clear is. No loose charge kicking around. But some case that is having trouble, some case that's having a lot of trouble, all you have to do is make a motion. You know, you've got more charge kicked up in this stimulation chamber. It's practically bursting, you see. And you just raise your hand in session, and bank caves in on him. See? In other words, the charge, the over-restimulation, the amount of charge present is so great. Charge isn't over-restimulation, but the word overcharge is not proper. People get thinking about fees or something. And this degree of re-stimulation is so great that anything in the environment kicks some part of the re-stimulation into action. So he's just totally reactive. Everything is already fixed up so it can react. It's already reacting, so everything reacts. You run any PC, three sessions, with a stuck tone arm. I don't care where the tone arm's stuck. Case going worse. Then they come to the fourth session. Oh, they've already been coming in feeling grim. And that fourth session, man, they feel bad. They're griefy. They don't want to go on. They don't want to have anything to do with anything. Just over-stimulation. Because it's not possible to audit somebody without doing one of three things. One of three. It's impossible to audit somebody without doing one of three, which is re-stimulate, de-stimulate, or discharge. You got to do one or another of these actions. Now, when a case is already in a confusion and is not understanding or confronting well, naturally the amount of destimulation and discharge is going to be minimal, so the re-stimulation is what takes over. And you just start auditing the case, and just auditing re-stimulates the case. Nothing's being discharged because there's no motion on the tone arm. There's no destimulation taking place. And there's no discharge taking place. So obviously there's only one thing left to happen, and that's re-stimulation. So just the fact of auditing somebody is going to do one of three things. And when you don't destimulate anything and you don't discharge anything, you certainly are going to re-stimulate something more. So an auditor's danger signal is no tone arm action. And that's a danger signal. And you should go at once into finding out why there is no tone arm action. And there are several reasons why there is no tone arm action, but first and foremost amongst these things, I say several, there are two. Two reasons why there's no tone arm action. Of course, we understand already that the tone arm action is case level has deteriorated because re-stimulation to that case level which doesn't achieve tone arm action. That goes without saying. If we say there's no tone arm action, obviously the case level has deteriorated. Now, these two things here are present in your actions. The auditor either does something that can discharge the existing re-stimulation or looks for what reason it has not to discharge. In other words, he really undertakes those two actions. He either discharges it right now, which he had better do, and if he can't do that right now, then he had better look to find out why it isn't happening right now. The case isn't running something that will discharge. In other words, the case is over-restimulated, the stuck tone arm. It's already over-restimulated, so you better jolly well not restimulate anything else. You'd better take an action under that heading which will discharge something that has already been re-stimulated, but mildly and up toward PT ordinarily. Not necessarily. Tone arm action just stopped. You just got through abandoning 12 GPMs, one right after the other, and tone arm action is now stopped. Well, the way, obviously, to start that tone arm action, go back and flatten those 12 GPMs, one right after the other, and tone arm action restores. Maybe. You see, you might have accidentally re-stimulated more by doing this, you see, than would ordinarily discharge, and you're now, the case is over its head. Your best action is a prep check type action, or R2H, or some such action as that. A routine 2 process, which is aimed toward making people healthy and well and clearing them and so forth. Or routine 3 actions. Routine 3 actions, which tear into the back track, are definitely out. And if the condition doesn't instantly and immediately remedy itself and tone arm action restores by reason of your prep check, or your R2H or something like that, and if you don't get immediate restoration of that, and you can't bring that about at once, then there's only one other thing that is wrong with this case. This case is sitting on a service fac, service facsimile. Therefore, we can say that any case that cannot be restored or put in the situation of clear in a relatively small amount of auditing, certainly less than 25 hours, is sitting in a service facsimile and the case will not do anything but worsen until that service facsimile is located and cleared. This also gives you the hidden standard. This gives you a lot of other things. And just so you'll have a record of it right now, rather than I'm going to give you another lecture about service facsimiles, that sort of thing. The service facsimile is viewable because when you prep check them on some subjects, mass turns on the PC. Prep check turns on mass. Oh, whoever heard of such a thing, prep check couldn't turn on mass. Oh, yes, it will on a service facsimile because the PC doesn't intend to get rid of this. The PC has, of course, a rightness-wrongness equation of something in life, and this rightness-wrongness thing is what doesn't surrender then to normal auditing, because it is a service facsimile, and you now have rightness and wrongness, and you have domination, and you have survival, that you can directly address the service facsimile and discharge it, and the case will then go back to battery and go to clear read. But if anybody has been audited over a long period of time on prep checks, on in Scientology, yep, on this, on that, and so forth, and they have not reverted to clear read, there is only one thing that stands in their road, and that is a service facsimile. And the service facsimile has got to be gotten out of the road with pitch shovels, sledgehammers, or any other type of action, and as soon as it's out of the road, then the case will pick up and fly and will go to clear read. There's a rightness-wrongness computation. The reason we never handled a service facsimile before, is actually we didn't have any way to handle them because we didn't know their total anatomy. We knew of their existence, as you'll find in advanced procedures and axioms. But the service facsimile is a rightness-wrongness computation. Any case that isn't improving at once, instantly, alertly, right on the way, tone arm action, improving, Needle action improving. On such a thing as a prep check, on such a thing as their auditing, on such a thing as recent times, on such a thing as this lifetime, anything in this lifetime. Case isn't snapping back to battery. The case still having recurrent present time problems. Case is still worried about something of the sort. Yip, yap, yip, yap, yip, yap. Always trouble with this case. This case isn't on torn arm action. Very hard to restore on this case. Prep checks don't seem to do anything to this case. Oh, my God, isn't life awful? That case is sitting on a service facsimile. And the thing to do is to isolate service facsimile. We haven't got that all tied up. How do you isolate service facsimile? But I will tell you the service facsimile, if present, will turn on mass when prep checked. Won't surrender to a prep check. Ha, 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 ha. What do you know? And that was the big discovery on the thing. How could anything not surrender to a prep check thing? Well, all a prep check is the series and types of decisions which a thetan makes about things. If a prep check is going to turn on mass, what's kicking here? What's happening? Well, it must be that the prep check is in conflict with the rightness and wrongness, and the auditor must be sitting someplace with the prep check trying to make the PC, in the PC's imagination, wrong. So the PC reinforces the facsimile and moves it forward in defense, reactively. You got a rightness-wrongness computation represented by the existence and increase of mass. Well, that takes care of about three-quarters of the HGC PCs, doesn't it? Well, I think it's quite interesting. I've often noticed that an HGC got along all right when it didn't get any case results. That's quite interesting. Awful condemnation. But the truth of the matter is, it often, I've noticed this, that quite a while it'll get along all right without getting any case results. We can finally put that down to that it makes people so right not to have any case improvement. Lack of results in their immediate neighborhood, however, over a period of 6 or 8 months, eventually will catch up with them and the whole roof caves in. But they can go along so long without case results that one almost wonders if people don't come there to be made right about what they're doing. So there's your proposition. There's your proposition with regard to why charge can't be discharged. The only thing which prevents charge from being discharged is there's too much over-restimulation. The over-restimulation is so great, the PC can confront nothing, so you get no tone arm action. As long as you address unspecific backtrack things, you get no tone arm action. You got to have something the PC finds very easy to understand, very easy to confront. In other words, these ARCs got to be raisable on it before it'll discharge. Or, if this isn't happening, no matter what you do, then it must follow that the PC is operating on a service facsimile. Then you have two reasons for high tone arm action. Well, actually, the one reason for high tone arm action is over-restimulation. See, that's the one reason for high tone arm action. But the two things which prevent discharge are the over-restimulated condition, or the fact you're auditing a service facsimile, and the guy isn't just about to give that up. My God, what would happen? What would happen? What would happen? If you can't chew tobacco, how can you get even with the Army? Horrible, horrible situation. All kinds of additives get added on this situation. Well, naturally, the situation has got to be terrible, because if it weren't terrible, why, it would be terrible. Logical. You've got a case where little kid, if he wasn't on crutches, why, he'd be wrong. You try to take him off crutches, and he's in... Mass turns on. How fascinating. So you must be, then, by resolving his crutches, you must in some way be making him wrong. So he's defending his right to be right. This is perfectly understandable, and that's the anatomy of a service facsimile. Now, to some degree, very few cases fail to fall into this category. There are very few cases that... But most cases, the bulk of cases, are slowly resolvable. And so you settle for the slow resolution. And actually, the service facts that the case has aren't directly across the auditing channel. So then we assume that only those service facsimiles that lie directly across auditing actually prevent a discharge or destimulation of the bank. So they're the only ones that really stop clearing from occurring. Guy can have a lot of service facsimiles if they don't operate directly and immediately in the road of auditing. If his service facsimile, however, has to do with the condition of his spirit, or the service facsimile has to do with the fact that if he got better, something or other, if it has to do with his case, if it has to do with let's take a state of insanity. Supposing he was being right with the state of insanity. You're going to audit him, huh? You're going to audit him on any other button but this, are you? I'm afraid not. See? Because there's a vested interest in insanity. What's the vested interest? Well, obviously, it's a vested interest. That's all. Service facsimile. That's all. You've got a situation going here whereby the person can only be right by being insane. I know that sounds insane, but all service facsimiles are insane just that way. So there's your whole situation laid out in a panorama. The closer a service facsimile moves in toward being right by having a wrong case, then the less progress the auditor is going to make on this PC. So the PCs whose hills are very hard to climb have service facts which lie directly across the road of auditing. For instance, I asked myself, this is so true. Then, if I have a bank at all, then I must be having a bank in order to be right. See, in some way, I must be having a bank in order to be right. And I almost got my head knocked. I asked myself silly questions like that once in a while, help you out, see. And I got the answer was sitting right there, man. If I didn't have a bank, they'd give me one. See, so therefore, the only way you could survive would be to have a bank, and then they'd leave you alone. Well, that's a type of logic, you see, by which that whole computation occurs. There are also interesting computations. If you can't go anywhere on right and wrong, you can also go someplace on dominate or survive. The survival value of. But right and wrong is your best bet. And it's always, how would it make you right? And how would it make others wrong? Woven around in some way so you get a right-wrong balance in asking the question. Now there's your service facsimile lying across, and you actually have only these two factors involved in the state of a case. As far as from an auditing viewpoint, you only have this. They're the only factors involved in a case state. 1, 2, 3. The case factors are the state of overstimulation and the possible presence of a service facsimile. And if your overstimulation cannot be immediately and directly cured, and you cannot make the case promptly and immediately clear so you can get on with auditing them to OT, in other words, you can't get the tonar moving well, so you go out OT, then you know at once that you are dealing with a service facsimile and that you'll have to handle that service facsimile with a prep check or an its line or something of this sort. And your case will still get on the road. And I think we've just whipped the biggest single barriers of auditing. One, an understanding of what is charge and what is restimulation, what are we auditing in the first place, And the other one is, if you can't do this, what other factor is involved? And we've had that for years, but we now have a process that handles it, and I hope you find it very successful. Thank you.